And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of Yes, I Like Wrestling Podcast. We are your hosts, Jairo Borja and
Sunny Sofrito.
Yeah, and our guest today
is stand-up by the name of Brandon Jolly, who's been a longtime supporter of Yep, I Like Wrestling. He's also a Hall of Famer for Yep, I Like Wrestling because he just got honored at the last Royal Rumble event.
Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Hall
so, of Fame. Feels good. I don't have a ring, but it feels great.
Hey, man, you got a trophy, all right?
You know, that trophy is amazing. It's amazing. My son tried to steal it, so I have to punch him in the face.
Still, oh, damn.
Hey, he's a tough kid. 22, but he's tough.
For everybody that doesn't know about it, we have a thing every year where we honor a couple of supporters that have been supporting for throughout the years. And every year we honor somebody, and you know, Brandon was up along with some other people, and it was a fun time, man. The Royal Rumble event was really fun. We all had a great time,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of wings were eaten and a lot of beers were drank.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Happy New Year to you. Happy Chinese New Year.
Yes. Don't hate Fat Choi.
That's right.
I was wondering what all them damn fireworks were, because my girl's like, you know those fireworks? I'm like, and I live in the city, and I'm like, fireworks? Yeah, what the hell was the fireworks? And then I see later on the news, Chinese New Year, fireworks were on for like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. So we're going to begin. So just tell us a little bit about your comedy background.
Man, I've been doing comedy since I was born. Mm-hmm. I was a comedian out the womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, class clown, making everybody laugh. Always, I was more of a storyteller, mm-hmm. with funny antics in it.
Right.
That's what I used to do. I used to look up to Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, put that out there. When I was in school, everybody always compared me to the next, you know, funny comic, anything like that. But it's always got shorter. So mm-hmm. first was Martin, mm-hmm. then it was Cat Williams, and of course now you know it's Kevin Hart.
Hart,
but it always gets shorter. I don't like that. Like, why I gotta go down? It's crazy, you know. But
I mean, at least as you're getting, you're getting compared to shorter, you're getting bigger in stature, though.
Yeah, right.
At least
Kevin Hart is right now the man.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's the only guy that could sell out the Garden. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's doing everything.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't turn into annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's angry. He's like, come on again.
Right.
At this point, it's a point. It's like, oh, this dude is working. He's consistent. I like that. You know, it gives hope for other, you know, comedians to maybe cross over. Because not everybody who does stand-up comedy can be marketable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think for him to avoid that trap that happens to a lot of other comedians and a lot of artists and just in general, is if they're self-aware, mm-hmm. and it's not even so much about being down to earth, it's more about self-awareness, where, all right, you could objectively look at your career and say, am I becoming a punchline, or am I keeping up and giving punchlines? And if he knows how to, you know, when to twist and turn so that he doesn't get to that level, that's how he'll continue to progress and thrive. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see him in 5 years being one of those guys that does these quirky characters and like, ensemble movies that are not just the... What was that? Not going back to being a scary movie, but just doing something that's a little bit more.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they could avoid, you know, the height issue, maybe he can even do some drama. I mean, most comedians have been some of the best dramatic actors that have been out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I like Eddie Murphy and Dreamgirls.
Yeah. Oh, man. I like Eddie Murphy and Dreamgirls killed that.
Jimmy got sold. Jimmy got sold. I love that part.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta go on a little bit tangent right now. Because Eddie Murphy is one of my all-time favorites, but I always feel like he keeps on picking some of the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he needs to do more stuff like that. Like, he could surpass Bill Murray on what Bill Murray's doing right now, where Bill Murray's doing all these different quirky characters here and there.
Right.
And Eddie Murphy, I think, is a phenomenal actor. He could transform himself into anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not doing that right now.
I mean, it might be, like you said, you know, take the, you know, look at yourself, well, I did this, I did that, what more do, what more can I do?
Right.
At the same time, you know, he's been doing it for a while. I just feel like he's just comfortable. When I was watching the Saturday Night Live, when, you know, they were paying tribute to him, and he didn't take it, he didn't really do, like, a speech. He was just, you know, clapped it up.
Yeah.
And then was just like, you know, let's give it up for everybody else, you know. Because now I think he's at the point where he's like, he wants everybody else to get it. He already got it.
Right.
He wants everybody else to,
right,
you know, get
the
flourish.
Shine. Right. Yeah, for those of you listening, we're referring to the SNL 40 that was this past weekend. And his performance coming on stage, it was something where, you know, I was reading today, they actually wanted him to come into the Jeopardy sketch and play Bill Cosby, and he actually turned it down. And because of the fact that he just didn't want to kick Bill Cosby while he's down. But I mean, if you put Eddie Murphy in any part of that, he's definitely going to overshadow everybody else.
Right.
You know, like we were talking earlier, it's a thing where, you know, he single-handedly saved that show because he was out of all the cast members in all the history of SNL, he's the one that's been in solo skits for the longest, the most times out of any cast member. You know, and it was a different show when he was on. It's not the same show that any, it wasn't any other period.
Right.
But this, to do a little bit of a segue, let's just do a quick rundown. If you were to compare a comedian to a wrestler, who would you put on par with Eddie Murphy?
Really? The Rock.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't even thinking about it, but yeah, all right.
The Rock, because he has so much charisma, so much intangibles. Like, he just...
Okay.
You right. Never know what's going to come out The Rock's mouth.
Right, all right.
You can anticipate it, but you never know. And then whenever he does, you're satisfied. You're not like, I could have been better.
Right.
It's like, oh, no, that, you know what? I didn't see it going that way, but it was good.
Okay.
You know, when The Rock came to New York, came to Brooklyn...
Yeah.
And he did the whole, hey, he went from Staten Island and swam
right.
and that.
To Queens.
And brought it back to Brooklyn. And then he said, you know, use the Jay-Z line and then ended with the Beastie Boys. So it was like,
yeah,
I didn't see it going that way, right. But it was good. It was great, you know?
Who do you see as the Austin? Like, you know how The Rock is Eddie Murphy. Who do you see as the Austin?
Oh, man.
It's hard.
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
It has to be Austin, but anyway.
But I'm saying it doesn't have to be apples. Current, you know, someone who's alive, or
yeah,
it could be
someone's deceased.
Comedian, past, present.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Dangerfield.
Ooh, oh, that's good. Wow, that's good. I didn't see Ronnie Dangerfield coming. Okay, yeah.
All right, that's what I see. Because those two, Eddie Murphy and Ronnie Dangerfield. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just
okay.
You sit there and you actually think back. You sit there and just look at comedy as an art form, what they did, what they've done.
Right.
And you sit there like, yo, it's crazy. You know, you took, at the time with Rodney, he'll say things about his wife and everything like that. You're like, yo, I can't believe you said that. But it's funny.
Right.
Because I know somebody's going through something just like that, you know. It's like, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
You know, no respect, you know. And then with Eddie Murphy, you sit there and you're like, okay, he's a skinny kid. Let me see what he can do. And then he delivers this. He'll sell you this cup of tea, and you'll be like, you know what? I gotta get that tea every day. Because that's Eddie Murphy. He'll sell you anything. It's like, oh, man. That's it. Goes to right there.
So who's your wrestling counterpart to Richard Pryor?
Oh, that's a good question.
I got mine. I already know which one I'm gonna say.
Wrestling counterpart. Richard Pryor. Who would be my Richard Pryor in the wrestling world? Wow. I'm gonna say it's two people putting mixed together. I would say yeah, that's tough.
I got one for you.
Man, Richard. See, Richard Pryor was so raw and just didn't give a I'll have to mix it too. I would say Jericho and CM Punk mixed together.
Okay.
A Richard Pryor. Maybe a counterpart.
I you know what? Roddy Piper, dude.
Roddy Piper?
Roddy Piper, man.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Roddy Piper is the one dude that wouldn't put his shoulders down for anybody.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know,
he never let Hogan pin him in the
end. Yeah, it was just so...
all the way to WCW.
After all the stuff that happened with him, like, there's a whole story about how he got called to the New York Territory, and Freddie Blassie messed with his bagpipes, and they ended up sending him back to out west, and he was, like, left with, like, his tail in between his legs.
Wow.
Because he got embarrassed, because they did a really bad rib on him. So it was, you know, one of those things where when he came back, he was like, I'm not putting my shoulders down for anybody. That's why anytime you saw, you know, you saw Roddy Piper in a match, he rarely ever, he either rarely or never got pinned.
Right.
Especially by Hogan. Because then he would, because in his eyes, his thing was, if I get pinned, then my stock goes down.
Right.
Because thing, and it makes sense, because I remember looking at all the Hogan stuff, you know, Hogan feuding with this person and that person. Every time he vanquished that person, they just went to the wayside, and except for one person, that was Randy Savage.
Yeah. So Hogan is the John Cena's the modern day Hogan. Bury him.
Yeah.
Bury him down deep.
Yeah, man.
So I wanted for the audience, how was you introduced to wrestling? I could tell you how I was introduced. My mom used to watch Spanish WWE television in 87, 88, I don't even remember.
Oh,
that.
The Spanish one.
Yeah. So we used to watch it. And then I watched my first pay-per-view live, SummerSlam 88. My mom's, one of her friends was married to this guy, and that was the first pay-per-view I ever saw. Warrior winning the IC title from Honky Tonk Man. In 30 seconds. So that's my memory of how I was introduced to wrestling, and the rest, as they say, is history.
And I was introduced to wrestling through my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my father, he's from the West Indies, and they like watching, you know, kung fu flicks and all that good stuff and everything. So, watching it, and it was actually, I believe it was the Hart Foundation wrestling the Rockets.
Okay.
Seeing tag team match.
Right.
Seeing that, and from then, I don't know why I like Bret Hart. From then, I like Bret Hart. So, you know, I was a big Bret Hart fan, and you know,
like most people,
right? Right. And that's how I got introduced to it. And it's funny because now, like when I was growing up, my father got annoyed of how much wrestling I watched. I'm like, it's your fault.
It's your fault. You introduced me to it.
Yeah, like,
I did it because of you.
Yeah, take it like a man. Take it like a man.
Like that old drug commercial. You're smoking pot. I learned it from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like that. It's like that. Oh, man. And since then, it's been a snowball effect, kind of, so that, like, the progression years, it's got a little bit, not worse, it's got a little bit more and more. You know, I used to wrestle with myself. Sounds weird.
Okay.
But like,
so wait, you were putting yourself in a headlock?
I would, yes. Imaginary person in a headlock. I'll do that. Back body drop myself.
You do promos too?
I did do promos. But I didn't do, I never recorded. I see,
okay.
My family was like borderline poor, but not poor, but not rich. It's weird. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Can you do any impersonations? I don't ever, or no. Not your style.
No, I could do some. Yeah. I would always.
Put you on the spot, huh?
A little bit.
Ooh, yeah, come on.
I used to play around. I used to, because I'm a big rock fan. So yeah. Rock, Thanksgiving time, always do rock. I would come down.
Right.
My bird chest, put the shirt on. Okay.
So the bird chest.
Yeah, I used to do all that. I could never do the people's eyebrow, though, but I would always put it up on my
face. Right.
I would do that. I would I would always, like, whenever someone got me mad in school, I would do Undertaker eye roll.
No,
and scare them. What are you doing? And, like, I would freak people out. I would do, like I said, I was a class clown, but you got me mad. I would do something crazy. I would when I was in school, I did Austin. And Austin started the whole.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line, son.
That's the bottom line, nothing like that.
Because Stone Cold said so.
So then, this kid got an altercation with this kid, and I said to him, and so, oh, you think you're tough? Think you're bad? Think you're bad? I'm sticking your ass here right now. Like, I actually cursed in school.
Right.
So, what was it? That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And it was like, Brandon, wrestling's not real. I was like, you know what? You don't like it? I got two words for you.
Suck it.
Suck it. I got in trouble so much in school. It was terrible. terrible. And, oh man, it's so bad. Like, I remember getting phone calls home, and like I'll be in the living room, and my mother just on the phone. She'll look over. Oh, really? I'm like, oh, here it go. That's the bottom line. Yes. That's the bottom line. Two words. I'm like,
The bottom was on the line.
It was. I would try to go to sleep early, just so I didn't get a beating.
Oh, damn! You will find different ways,
different strategies to not get.
I was a preemptive crier. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, I know my mom's gonna hit me, so I'm gonna cry now and get mercy.
My mom didn't care. Oh, you don't get this butt with me,
right?
Yeah. My father, he never used to really beat me or hit me. He raised his voice. That was all it.
Right.
You know.
I remember my father giving me a look, and I was like,
the tears start coming. All you have to do, he would just say my name, and he's like, "Brennan." Like, what I do. My father, I would always do Macho Man with my dad.
Okay.
So when I was younger, he played cricket.
Right.
And I'm like, "Dad, we're gonna play cricket. Can I come with you?" He was like, "Yeah, come here." I'm like, "Oh yeah."
Oh yeah.
He'd be like.
Then he changed his mind. Like, no, never mind. You stay home.
You know, I thought about this earlier. Like, you was talking about off air. We were talking about video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wrestling's been synonymous for video games ever since the NES with WrestleMania or pro wrestling. Remember with the Starman and all that. So, what was your what's your favorite wrestling video game of all time? I have mine. I have a couple that I like. That I used to play with my friends, you know, especially like No Mercy jumps out, you know,
right.
WrestleMania 2000 comes in line. WCW versus NWO World Tour, that's my all time favorite, game.
I think of all time.
For 64, remember that?
Oh, yeah, do I.
That was the one, for those of you younger listeners, where you take a cartridge.
Yes!
You take a cartridge, and you go.
Yeah.
If that didn't work, you had to put under your shirt.
Yeah.
So if that didn't work, take a Q-tip. Alcohol.
Some alcohol, yep. Exactly.
Yep.
And you.
And that's when your mother's like, "What happened to all the Q-tips? I'm playing Nintendo."
Oh man, my favorite wrestling game of all time. I have one for each system.
Okay.
If that suffice. Okay. Super Nintendo. It was Royal Rumble.
Okay, that's a good game.
Then you had the WrestleMania when they had the crazy, like when Undertaker made
the arcade one.
I like that with the Bam and Bigelow jump.
Yeah, that
was cool. No Mercy.
Right.
No Mercy was cool. For PlayStation, Mayhem.
Okay.
Yeah.
WCW?
Yeah, there's Mayhem, but then they kind of leaped over to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But Xbox, it had to be. War vs. SmackDown 2006.
Okay.
Only because you had Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle in the game.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's a good game.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
That's a classic game to have because you will never see Chris Benoit in another
game ever.
They don't even sell it anymore.
No, right.
It's like,
right.
Not even on GameFly.
That's a collector's. That's a collector's basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know I should have kept it from GameFly. I shouldn't have sent it back. But I sent it back because I wanted the no game. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So,
order it again.
You can't.
Somebody definitely just
cut it.
Somebody did what you should have done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what? We got to Google that and see how much it's going for right now. Because somebody's like, oh, yeah. This is a hot commodity. And they're trying to sell that for a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
You want to see that game?
Angle and Benoit?
Yeah. Both of them, yeah.
Imagine the roster back then. Look at the people in the game. You know what I mean?
You're talking about like a classic time period where matches were just five-star all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you had a lot of great talent back then. Mm-hmm. That was when, Shawn Michaels was
active,
doing his thing.
Undertaker was
back, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
Flair was doing this thing. Like, that's when Evolution was.
Yeah, that was that was towards the tail end of Ric Flair falling off.
Yeah, right.
Where he could still put on a decent match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now, what's your favorite match all time? Favorite match of all time?
Actually, no. You know what? We need to break it down into two parts.
All right, okay.
Remember how we did last time?
With Kenny. Yeah, that's right.
All
right,
so what's your favorite match all time for just like the match, the in-ring work itself, and then what's your favorite match all time that you have the most emotional connection to?
Yeah, exactly. It's emotional, and there's a straight up the technical, the wrestling part, I guess.
All right.
Because you know there's got to be a match that you just, like, you still think about, like, damn, that bastard.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned one of them with mine, the Rock Hogan.
Rock Hogan.
Yeah. Oh, that was the one I said.
Yeah, that was pretty emotional. It was...
the same one I said.
Yeah. I heard that. Unlike you, I was born Rock side. Yeah. You know, the reason why, but the thing about it, because at that time, it's always...
Dude, it's the age difference, bro.
No, I understand. But at that time,
I got
13
years on these songs. That's the reason why.
At the time, I was like, yo, I really hope... It was like pre-WrestleMania. Go, you know, because I always used to go to my cousin's watch. Yeah. I was like, yo, I really hope Rock win. I hope he doesn't lose. And be like, oh, it was an honor for him to lose. I don't want to hear none of that. No, he needs to win.
So you weren't caring about none of that. I was like, yo, you know what? He's back in the WWF. I wasn't even calling it the WWF. I was saying, yo, he's back with the WWF. He needs to win.
Right, yeah.
And every time he whipped him with the belt.
That match is just so... I go back. Thank God for the network, because I go back and watch it all the time.
Or $9.99 or free in February.
Yeah.
Give it a plug.
The last time they gave it free, Sting showed up.
Yeah, right.
So... Who knows what's gonna happen now? You know?
Right. Well, you know who I think is gonna show up.
Oh yeah, of course.
Undertaker's got to show up because they've been teasing that whole
Bray's calling him out.
Yeah, Bray's calling him out, so he has to show up.
He got to show up. And does Bray have a match at Fastlane?
No, I don't think so. Uh-oh. So he'll just
he might do a promo. Yeah, and that's gonna spark tickets. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all already here. We tell you what's gonna happen.
Exactly.
We doing an Eric Bischoff right now.
Foley's gonna win this championship. You don't want to see that. And then they found up. He took all those viewers from Nitro. Yeah.
You're welcome, WWE.
You're welcome. You just want a payment, and that'd be $9.99.
No, pay us $9.99.
Yeah.
Peace.
That's $3.33. These $3.33 each.
Move the decimal back a couple places. We'll be all right.
So back to your question. So I guess Sonny, right? Emotional, and then the overall just technical. You know,
technical, man. There's a few of them. I would have to say, almost any match with Angle and Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be it for me.
Right.
Almost any match with Angle Benoit. Right. Even the Lesnar Angle 19, WrestleMania 19.
That was a good match.
That was a good match.
Good match.
The only thing that kind of ruined it for me was
the Shooting Star Press.
Was when he
why did he do that?
No, but he used to do it all the time.
He was doing LBW. Yeah, right.
That was,
he was too far. I know that.
Yeah, he was real far. Too,
yeah.
I mean, that was his finisher in OVW.
Right.
Like, he used to do it all the time. He just pulled it out. You know, just like, all right, yo, this WrestleMania, I'm gonna pull it out because nobody ever sees me do it.
The Shooting Star Press.
When he was in OVW.
Right.
Right.
And I mean, and he didn't turn it. He didn't miss. It wasn't like he did it and it was bad.
Right.
It was just he didn't fully rotate.
Exactly.
And it was by a little bit. It wasn't even by a whole lot, and he just came down on his head.
Right.
So you know, and it was. I mean,
he was dazed the rest of the match.
Oh, he was so dazed. Yeah, yo. Yeah. Oh man, the way he looked in that match was the way he looked after he lost that last match in.
Against Overeem? Yeah, when he got punched in the stomach or kicked in the stomach.
Yeah, that's exactly how it looked.
Yeah, no.
He was dazed, yeah. But technical-wise, those two guys, I'm a Benoit fan. I used to, you know, pick Benoit to play online.
Right.
In 2006, Magnolia was zero. I picked Benoit, and he was Benoit Angle.
Right.
I'll tap, make you tap out. That was it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Now, is that the one with the submission that you gotta go like this with the buttons?
Yeah, I was real good with it. You know, I was in a...
you gotta go like this, like...
I was in a video game clan.
You got arthritis playing.
Yeah.
Good thing about it, I was in a video game clan.
You look like you throwing up gang signs.
Yeah.
So would you, just been playing the game.
You playing the game.
No, you a crank. Nah, I'm just playing the game.
So, you know, in that submission, that's what it was. Anyway. the video game clan, and it gave me a try. I was like, oh, you want to see how good you are? I was like, all right, cool. So, you know, every time I put the submission on, you got the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and when it maxes out, you get the tap out.
The tap out, right? Right, right? But I was so good at it, the second time you got in the submission, it started going to max.
Oh, wow.
Then I was like, yo, your nickname is Fast Fingers, man. Put that Fast Fingers. I'm like, FF, all right.
See, you got to be tough with those guys calling you Fast Fingers when you're out dating.
Yeah. Nice. Fast Fingers, but hey, man. Your girl, but a watch.
Why they call you Fast Fingers? And then you pull out a joystick out of your bag. Hey, this is the reason why I sued you.
Oh.
All right, so we got Angle Benoit or Angle Lesnar, and then what about just overall presentation, emotional roller coaster, ride?
I'm gonna say Rock, the first Rock Cena.
Rock Cena.
Wow. Okay.
Right. We were talking about it was a very good match, right?
Yeah,
a lot of emotion. The Rock didn't wrestle for like 7 years or whatever, 8 years.
Yeah,
whatever
it was. That was, you know? That was, you know what?
A year hype.
Yeah, right.
Flo Rida, MGK. You know?
Mm-hmm. What I like more than the match was just the lead up to it, because it was, they were just really trying to break the fourth wall in so many different ways.
Absolutely.
Where they were just pulling things out their pocket and just doing stuff, talking about stuff that, I guess, little tricks that and techniques that everybody does, but they would just bring it out like, yeah, you know, you wrote that stuff on your arm, right? Like, oh, like, yeah. It was like real trash talk, and it was a great.
I bring it via satellite, you know what I mean?
That was great. So yeah, I mean, it was. I actually enjoyed the lead up to it, and that's my thing. I just enjoy a lot of, you know, the pageantry of WrestleMania is ridiculous, because I think one of the illest entrances that I've ever seen was the one where John Cena came in and he had all the dudes dressed up as John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
All the way down
the
aisle.
Fake, like,
yeah, 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 like, yeah, like, yeah, the Eminem one.
What, the video music, right? That's for me at 25.
Right. They show that in a lot of the packages, video packages, and whenever I see that, I'm just like, that. How the hell you get so many dudes
to dress up like
John Cena?
I mean, dude, you gotta think about it. It's not like you're just getting some regular old dude. You're getting a bunch of big, built
independent
dudes
wrestlers or whatever,
all the way down.
Yeah, right. it was a lot of dudes.
Right.
It was a lot of dudes.
I mean,
that's when he fought the Miz, right?
No, that was 27 when he fought. It was stupid. Big Show and Edge in that triple threat match for the World.
Okay,
but that was when he did the F5. I mean, the, not the F5, the
AA to both
on both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that dude, I thought that dude's legs were going to burst.
but you know, at the knee.
That WrestleMania is okay. Undertaker and Shawn Michaels save the WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but dude, that was the real main event.
That was the real main event. Exactly.
Because I mean, they killed it.
Yeah.
2 years back to back. I mean, Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania because of that.
Right.
Because he puts on the best matches, you know, on that stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
But you know, being a performer. Going up after Michaels and Taker. Oh,
that's gotta be a plus.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
That's like, dude, do you like me or not? Like,
right.
No.
Yeah.
You suck the energy out of the building, and it's very difficult to like want to again rebuild that.
Same thing that happened with
Triple
Taker
H. Well, yeah, exactly. What, two examples. Yeah, number one, when the streak ended last year in New Orleans, yeah, Daniel Bryan, he came out, but the crowd wasn't the same after that.
But you know what? They had to do that, though. Okay, so WrestleMania 30, this is my belief system.
Mm-hmm.
That whole show was about finishing with a happy ending.
Right, exactly.
It was all about getting Daniel Bryan to be at the end of that of the pay-per-view with the belts and just make feel
and
good.
And defeating the Authority.
And feel good for the whole thing.
Right.
Wrestling is the only entertainment entity that needs to antagonize their fans just as much as let them go home happy.
Right. Mm.
So how do you keep them on the edge, off balance? You do something surprising. So it's like when you think about it, they had to do that.
Right.
It was like the right time. That's why I think even Taker didn't even know if he was going to lose up until the end, because it was something that I think Vince McMahon was debating upon. And as looking at the production as a whole, as a show, it made sense.
Yeah.
Because you had Cesaro, who's, you know, one of those people that, you know, even though they dropped the ball with him
after. We were talking about that,
but before. But you had Cesaro, who was, you know, on that brink of babyface that everybody that was tired of booing for him.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to cheer him, and you knew he was going to go over. So you had Cesaro go over. You had Bryan go over in the beginning. You had some other matches that I'm drawing a blank on right
the
now.
The Shield versus the Shield. Authority, whatever.
Or Shield, the Shield versus the Evolution.
No,
I'm sorry. That was
Shield versus the Outlaws and somebody else. And Kane. That was a match.
That's right, yeah. Right. So, everybody wants the Shield to win. Yeah. So, like, everybody that was winning were mm-hmm. people that were, people wanted to see win.
Right.
Everybody that went over was somebody that they wanted to see go over.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you have Undertaker lose.
Right.
And that emotional ride mm-hmm. when you watch a wrestling match just makes you go, holy crap.
Right.
He just lost? So yeah. You forget about everything. So then when you get to the end of the card and all of a sudden Daniel Bryan wins.
Right.
It just, it's the whole satisfying vibe of going up and down, up and down.
Right, right.
So it made sense. It made sense to me. But I want to go on a different tangent because Brandon, you were just talking about how, you know, how do you go on and follow a match like that?
Right.
But you know what? I wonder what's harder for you when you're on stage? Following a comedian that bombed or following a comedian that killed it?
Man, they're both equally, it's different elements of both. Because a comedian who bombs, I feel like now I got to get the crowd back.
Right.
Yeah. I got it. Bring everybody back that they're happy to be there, not like really mm-hmm. enough now somebody else
right.
They might do the same thing this guy just did. Now I gotta bring it back, but I gotta bring everybody back without discrediting the other comedian.
Yeah, because right. it's a brotherhood.
It's a brotherhood.
Right, right.
Someone who killed, I state the obvious. I'll be like, he killed that mother. I make jokes about that and I'll ride off of his good braces. I might bring a call back.
So it's like the key for that, doing a lot of crowd work for someone that following someone that kills, just to try and ride that wave until you can get them on your side.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Some comedians do different things. Mm. You know, I honestly, this sounds so bad, but I honestly like following bomb comedians
to get that crowd back.
Yeah, just so
it's
like,
easy.
Yeah, because it's like. Like, easy y'all did bad.
Right.
I brought it back.
You can only go up.
Yeah, it's actually harder to bring back a crowd.
Right.
You know what?
It's an interesting exercise that you say that because, you know, there are some comedians that are known for holding people hostage, like Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear those stories about Dave Chappelle who go into a comedy club and who hold a crowd there? For like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But he won't start he won't start saying anything that will really hit until like hour and a half has gone by.
Because
he doesn't want the easy laugh.
Right.
And that's the thing. That's the reason why like Steve Martin stopped doing stand-up. Because he just got tired of getting the easy laugh and it just wasn't fun for him anymore.
Right.
And that might be a reason why Eddie Murphy hasn't done any more comedy because it's too easy. It's like he goes on. It's almost like, you know, you don't have that rush anymore.
Right. It's just like they're gonna laugh because they know you're gonna be funny. So it's just like whatever. Come on. Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
Laugh. Yeah. Okay. Certain comics, when they follow someone who kills,
mm-hmm.
it might be hard for them to maintain that level. Right. So what a lot of comics do is they'll try to one up them. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Never try to one up.
Right.
All you do is just ride it
mm-hmm.
the same way. When you feel it depleting, that's when you hit him. Boom, hit him with you.
Right.
I take Lil Wayne's line. I hit him with that Wayne train.
Yeah.
But I hit Lil Wayne's with the B train.
Right.
So I'll wait. So I like to hit him with, I follow up a, you know, comedy that bomb. And I go up there. I bring the energy. Do a little bit of crowd work. Then I bring me into hit him with the B train. Boom. Then I get them laughing. And on a high note, sets it up for the next comic for them to go. Even which way they want to go. But that's what I like to do.
Right.
But I also like following the comment that goes,
So-so. Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, that is almost like, it's almost like painting on a close-to-empty canvas.
Yeah.
So you can, like, you can just do whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, you can take them here or there and not to worry about the residuals from somebody before.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, I like that. It's cool.
Yeah, man. Talking about emotion. Sorry. Back to wrestling.
we're all about jumping back and forth. Exactly.
The other match, we were talking about Rock Hogan and WrestleMania 18. If you remember, that match actually wasn't the last match. The last match was Triple H and Jericho. And if you remember, they struggled.
Right.
They struggled a hard time to get it. They never got the crowd back after that because
the crowd was done.
Yeah, the crowd was done.
It was drained.
It was so drained. That match was so emotionally draining. Man. And no one cared about the women's match, the tag match, not even the last
match.
There
was a women's match after Rock and Hogan. Because I was just like, there was this match? Because I remember Rock Hogan, then I remember Triple H and Jericho.
Dude, I actually forgot about Triple H and Jericho.
I didn't remember that match in between them. It was for the women's title. Yeah. Trish and Jazz and Lita?
I want to say Lita.
And, wait, wasn't that Trish's last match, too?
No, not that one.
No.
Not at 18.
No, she fought for a couple more years.
Her last one, I believe, was that...
was that at 19 then?
I think it was at 19.
Okay, so that was at 19, yeah. Because, I mean, Trish and Lita... I mean, Trish always had a great match.
Was it at 20?
No, it wasn't at
20. No, she was involved in that storyline with Jericho and Christian. Remember that?
She turned heel
and kissed Christian.
Right.
I don't know how I remember that stuff.
That was very lackluster.
Oh, yeah, I know. So we're transitioning. That was a good transition. So now we're talking about WrestleMania. We're in WrestleMania season. So I'll ask you a couple of questions. So this is out of left field. Your favorite celebrity involvement in WrestleMania? WrestleMania 3.
My favorite celebrity. I'm a New Yorker, so I'm going to go with the New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Not Drew Carey, guys. Not him.
No, please, no.
LT.
LT and WrestleMania 11?
Yeah, LT and Bam Bam. That was something different. That was pretty cool. I remember I walked around with that magazine for the longest.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it was ripped. The staples came off the hinge. Like, it was so bad. Like, that magazine. I think that's one of the best celebrity, in my opinion.
Right, because.
I mean, that was way better than what WCW did with Rodman, Malone, Jay Leno.
They brought it back, like. They did the Rodman thing, okay. Then the next year they brought it back again. I kept revisiting the same people. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Because
the lead up to LT Bam Bam was at the Royal Rumble.
Right. He snuffed him, right?
He pushed him.
Right.
That was awesome. And I was like, yo, it was a good lead up. I liked it.
That was cool.
What was yours?
Didn't they do something on Times Square too? They had an outdoor like exhibition.
With Diesel and a couple of people.
I remember that.
It was a good lead up to it. Because right after happening, you know, Vince. Oh, I want to apologize to people like they didn't know. It was a good mind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, damn. If to think of a celebrity
or celebrity involvement.
Celebrity involvement. I don't know, man. It's like first one comes to mind right now is Bob Barker because I just found it so hilarious.
Guest host of Raw. He won a slammy for it.
Yeah, I mean,
best guest host.
Yeah, right. It was just to me. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean. There's other ones that are probably even more memorable. Mm-hmm. I mean, another person that jumps out because I'm just a fan of was Joan Rivers.
Oh, right.
Going way back. Cause I just remember, like, when she passed, they started showing a lot of different clips, and then they show clips from that I actually forgot about with her and Hulk Hogan, and I was like, wow, that's funny. I mean, are we talking about when the celebrities are being involved in WWE or when the WWE was coming out of it and doing something else?
More WrestleMania because we're in the middle.
If it's because you know WrestleMania season and everything like that. You know what? If I have to be specific with like a pay per view,
don't tell me Snooki. WrestleMania 27.
That was a travesty.
I know.
I forgot about that.
She did a flip. That was really impressive, though.
Want to know how much of a sick bastard I am? I kept on saying, I hope she hurts us about you. I mean, dude, I just couldn't stand that girl. It's funny because I think about, you know, aside, you know who I laugh about every time I think about it? Pete Rose. When yeah, Pete Rose got, yeah. got Tombstone.
Hey, Tombstone. I was, 2 years in a row, too.
Yeah, that to me was that if we're going to talk about them getting into the ring in a situation like that, that is the one I'll say. That one, and Pete then Rose? After that, Bob Barker.
Yeah, did you like Money Mayweather in 24, or was that stupid?
Yeah,
I guess Big Show.
That was like one of those scratch things. Just like
I mean, because even though he's a phenomenal boxer, it's
unrealistic, right? David Goliath, come on.
Yeah, you still have to be able to buy into it, right. And I couldn't buy into it because it's just. Yo, dude weighs a buck 05 soaking wet with some of the blocks in his pants.
And Big Show's 500 pounds. Right.
So it's like, even if he has deadly hands, which I really don't think he does, he just has a great defense as a boxer, that's a whole other story.
A whole other story. Fight, club.
I don't even want to get into that situation. But, I mean, dude, me personally, I just couldn't buy it. I'm like, all you gotta do is just hold. Your arms are so long. His arms were as long as his body.
Right.
So, you know, I guess in the same thing, the realism that came to it was the Big Show underestimating him. Like, oh, I'm a big guy. You're a little guy. I can do whatever to you I want. Which kind of brought into the whole cocky aspect.
Yeah.
And when he got down, oh, you hit me.
He really broke his nose.
Came out the brass knucks. Was like, now he's knocked out. That was a little realism. Like, okay, that's the only way he was going to win. The only way. Like,
of course.
None of his bodyguards could take on Big Show.
Even if they would have come together like Voltron, they weren't going to take
What about a couple years before that when Big Show took on the sumo wrestler?
Akebono. In LA. That was a dumb.
That was another one.
Waste of a match.
You know what? I would have loved to have seen. I would have loved to seen Big Show versus Butterbean. Because after Butterbean knocked out
Bart Gunn and Lefty.
When he knocked the F out. Oh my God!
I don't know why they did that. Poor guy.
I mean, I could see why they did it because it was something different. It was like, all right, let's have him fight for real.
Exactly.
And let's see who. And he was knocking people out left and right. But you know what? He got. He got hit so hard that I think I laughed, then I felt bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, he got hit pretty hard though.
It was like who does the thing? You just got knocked the F out.
Okay, talk
to Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker. That's what you need. It was Chris Tucker at that.
Hey man.
Hey man. Man, you just got knocked the F out.
What did you say after that? Can I have your bike? You can't do nothing now. You turn down.
I did like Tyson's involvement in 14.
That was good.
It was a perfect thing. You know, he wasn't in the ring wrestling, but he was an enforcer.
But I think it also helped that Mike Tyson was always a wrestling fan, which is because he was always a wrestling fan, it made him understand what he needed to do better. Who wouldn't love to see Tyson back in WWE doing something right now?
Because it's
just because of the fact that it was fun seeing him in there, like during those time and then the brief time he came back again. But then also Tyson, it's just so much unintentional stuff that can happen that just make you go, wait a minute, what can happen today? The spontaneous like factor, it could be so incredible.
And at that time, he was still a relevant name. You know, I mean, he's always a relevant name, but he was relevant in the boxing world still.
Right.
Now he's going to step out. He's the baddest on the planet. So. Yeah.
But I think also, because he's been doing so many more things that are performance-based, he would fit in even more now with what the WWE is doing, and it will make it a much more interesting situation.
Right.
I mean, dude has been doing, he did Broadway. He's done movies. So, just having that frame of reference, you know, it's something from the drawing. He's like, all right, I know I need to do this and do that. And it would make for a really interesting angle. Or even for, like, make him the freaking GM for, like, a couple of months. That would be fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. That would be fun to watch, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have brought him in when the authority was out.
They were doing a couple of weeks of guests. Some of the guests.
Though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Grumpy Cat?
That was the worst.
Grumpy Cat.
That was the worst.
WWE, Grumpy Cat. Really? Terrible choice. Better off having
The menopause dog?
Betty White did a better job.
I know.
Yeah, Betty White was funny. Yeah. Betty White, you gotta see the Betty White on SNL. She came into one of the skits.
Did she kiss Bradley Cooper? Yeah. Bradley that Cooper. Was real. I don't know what they got going on. I don't know if he married, but his wife better watch out.
I don't think he is, but Betty White was enjoying that. She's like, yes, come here.
Yeah. I was like, man, she was really into that. It was really kissing. It was crazy.
All right, so switching from celebrities. So I asked you this earlier. Give you some time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite Mania match in the 30 years of history. That's hard, right? There's a lot of great memories. But what was your favorite Mania match? In history.
Who's going to say Hogan and Rock?
Hogan and Rock again? Yeah. That's an easy cop-out answer. Come on.
Hey, that's my answer. That's your answer?
Hogan and Rock?
That's my answer. I'm sticking to it. I've watched that match multiple times.
Yeah, me too. No doubt.
But only that one. Only that match.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go to the paper, to the network, and go
fast forward,
and just fast forward and just go directly to that match.
History?
Yeah. And it's 30 years.
Yeah, so.
I have a few. I gave you mine already.
You said top five?
Well, I said top five. That's later on if we have time. Okay. But my favorite match, your favorite match in Mania history, I'll give you mine, was still Steamboat Savage from WrestleMania 3. It was, the IC title. It was the first time it was defended. It was the second or third. It was the third time it was defended, but the first time that it kind of changed hands on that grand stage.
Right.
And like I told you, just the spots that Randy Savage worked with Steamboat a couple of nights before in Florida. And,
mm-hmm.
and just, it was just such a flawless contest. Like, to me, if you was to be a wrestler, if anybody who wants to grow up to be a wrestler should watch that match. Just to take notes as far as, the timing, psychology.
Right.
The spots, everything. That's how you should wrestle, you know what I mean?
It's like two of them. I really started liking. Well, I like this. I already like this person, but this is when I really started liking this person.
Right.
Was the Iron Man match with Bret and Shawn?
Yes. WrestleMania 12.
Yeah. That in right Anaheim. There. When he came down from the Raptors, yep. Man. Yeah. That was something.
And the fact that they fought 60 minutes and it's still 0-0 and they went to overtime.
Yeah.
Girl Monsoon came out.
Yeah. Gotta go to sudden death.
That's gotta be probably the best Iron Man match that's ever been put on. Hogan and Rock and Triple H had one.
They were sloppy. You could tell they were gassed. Like 45 minutes.
There was another Iron Man match. I'm trying.
Brock Kurt Angle was an okay one on SmackDown.
Yeah,
that was a whole hour.
Yeah, with commercials.
I want to say there was one with Flair and I can't remember who, but that was like old WWE.
Benoit Triple H was pretty good too on Raw. That was on Raw actually.
Yeah. Commercials. Did an Iron Man match?
Yes, Iron Man match.
Oh wow, yeah.
You know what's funny though? When they do like a 15-minute Iron Man match and it goes back and forth, like, dude, we can do this in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
stretch
it out for a whole hour.
You know what? Speaking of which, I miss the time limit draws.
I missed that too. Yeah.
Time limit draws?
Yeah. Wait, has it. Especially with the TV title.
Yeah.
Time limit draws.
I missed it. I missed like seeing, all right, well, we have a draw. It's a time limit draw, blah, blah, blah. And, when they used to do the house shows on MSG Network, mm-hmm. There'll be like three or four of them in one night.
Right.
But it was, I used to get into it. I'm like, damn, man, again?
Yeah. And
I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, yo, come on, man, hurry up. Yeah, pin him.
This has a 15-minute time. I'm like, what? And I'm sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it have to be the Iron Man match.
Iron Man match?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great pick. Great pick, man. As far as, let's talk about,
go ahead.
Sorry.
What's your favorite gimmick or angle
I actually had it right now.
And they don't have to, because you're a comedian, I want to know what's your favorite funny one.
Oh,
and,
true.
And favorite, non-funny or non-intentionally funny.
True.
Okay. Gimmicks, right? Like, as far as, you mean.
Gimmick. Like, well, not so much gimmicks, but, you can say either a gimmick or an angle. It has to do with a wrestler or just an angle. Like, one of my favorite was always the invasion angle. Even though a lot of people don't... it's become more finally remembered now. Mm-hmm. But I remember during the time everybody was like, "Oh, I hate this invasion angle." But now people look back and like, "Yo, it was actually pretty dope."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the awesome angle with the whole when we put that stupid guitar. I was just like, that angle with the guitar, and I was like, yo, why is the dude hugging him? Like, this is not Stone Cold.
Especially after all the fighting they did.
Exactly. It was like
he was brain damaged, yo.
Yeah, this is like, you know, this guy who's, you know, anti-establishment and stuff like that. Not a good guy. Well, not a good guy.
He's the anti-hero.
Yeah, anti-hero bad guy. And then here you are with a guitar singing to the boss. And so we're like, what? This is so weird. Like, what's going on, man? And the funniest one, well, that was meant to be funny. But the other one was just like a little weird, but I found kind of funny. Mm-hmm. What had to be the whole Rock Rikishi
angle with the Rock.
He got in the Hall of Fame because of that.
It was weird because it was like,
I did it for the Hall of Fame.
I did it for my sons.
So, but you know, it's just weird because it's like, did he really have to, like, the way that, like, they took Austin actually getting hurt because of Owen.
It was a direct effect of all that. Yeah.
And then Ziggler was like, "Oh, well, let's do this." The fact that they had Austin interrogate everybody, and Billy Gunn come out and goes, "I don't know who did it, but he had blonde hair." Okay, cool. Stunner. Like, it was like, "Oh, okay." Like, that whole investigation stuff and everything. It's like, dude, there's a lot of wrestlers with blonde hair. Who is it?
There was some female wrestlers with blonde hair.
Right. Yeah, blonde hair. Like, dude, that's a crazy. I also enjoyed the 24
Hulk. Oh man, that was the best. Yeah, yeah. Crash Holly being in a hotel room. All of a sudden, yeah, it's room service. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I enjoyed that angle. It was cool.
Especially when I missed that.
In WrestleMania. I believe it was WrestleMania 18.
Yeah.
When
Maven won. And then Christian won, or Molly Holly won.
It was like 30 title changes within 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that was like the beginning of the first Scramble match. That was in WrestleMania 2000.
The one you're saying. The fact that Molly Holly smacked her through the head with a frying pan.
Yeah.
That was funny, but then when she's creeping around in the halfway door, I was just like, yo, this is so great.
That was funny. That was hilarious. I'm going to tell you right now, one of my favorites is definitely, and is Mark Henry and Mae Young.
Oh yeah, when we
were still doing the stuff over at MIMO, I remember for the pay per view that was around October of not last year but the year before. Mm-hmm. So I had a hand costume. So I came and I brought the costume with me because it was right before Halloween. So I was like, "Hey, do you guys know who I am?" And everybody's like, "No, who I'm." "I'm Hand. I'm Mae Young's son."
Yeah,
and people started cracking up. It was that. You know, only wrestling fans would get that obscure of a reference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it was like, oh, yeah, see, I'm with my people.
Exactly. that's why
the events are so cool, because I could do something silly like that, and people in the room would be like, I get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like this year. This year, with the Shockmaster thing.
Shockmaster. Yeah,
that was funny.
That was funny, my boy.
David came through, and it was so funny because he comes through and he's like, "My mother made me this cape right now. She did it in like 5 minutes." And he came through and then everybody saw him like, "Wait a minute. Oh, no, Shockmaster."
But
if he would have wore that anywhere else, they'd be like, "Yo, who's the fat dude with the Star Wars mask?"
Yeah, right.
But a wrestling fan, they know, that's the Shockmaster.
We got like 6 minutes. So what's your favorite championship match in Mania history? You know, now we're talking, you know, WrestleMania season. You would pick the Iron Man match, but besides that.
Favorite championship match would have to be,
Do you have a favorite one, Sonny?
Oh,
I have a couple. I have one that stands out. Rock Austin 2. WrestleMania 17, Austin turned heel.
Yeah, he turned out. Yeah. He was relentless with that chair.
Yeah, like, he hit him like 16, 17 like, times, you know?
Damn, dude. Like,
see, like, I gotta fix up the different kind. I mean, damn, you know what? All right, here's my choice. I picked WrestleMania 30.
30.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan, Batista. Bryan?
Yes. Yes. No, you know what? Forget that. Yep.
Yeah, man. The beginning of that WrestleMania 30, I screamed like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hogan, Rock Austin. Especially when Rock came out.
That was like the best
opener,
beginning
right?
of any show I
had. He messed up with the
Silverdome,
and it actually ran with it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Superdome. And if you watch the 24/7 of WrestleMania, they show footage of Austin and Rock backstage, and you can see they're looking at each other like, "Yeah, we're gonna get him."
Yeah.
It was good, man. It was really fun watching that whole interaction, because it kind of, you know, the same way WrestleMania 18 with Rock and Hogan bridged a lot of wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
So did that promo, that intro, because it just brought us all back.
Right.
You know, and it's those moments that just, you know, that people just respond to.
Time stands still.
Yeah, it really does make you feel like time stood still for a minute, and everybody's just like a little kid again. You know, and that's what, you know, with wrestling, that's what it is. It kind of brings us back to you know, either our childhood or simpler times, because of the fact that you're able to just release and just, you know, get rid of reality and be like, all right, listen, I'm just going to commit to this. We'll watch it, take it for what it is. We all know what it is in real, you know, in reality. But it just takes you on a wave, and it's like anybody watching a soap opera that just lose themselves into it, and that's the fun of it.
Yeah. Last question: what's your favorite Mania of all time?
Favorite Mania 20, because I was there.
20, all right.
I was there.
Yeah.
The closest I ever came to a Mania was WrestleMania 1.
All right.
Yeah, but I wasn't at the Garden.
I was at
the Beacon Theater.
The Beacon Theater?
Because, you know, back then, damn, man, I'm really showing my age right now. Jesus Christ. But anyway, luckily I don't look my age. But anyway, so they had, you know, Madison Square Garden sold out in, like, minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But they had all these different closed-circuit TVs because they didn't have pay-per-view at home.
Right.
So my mom took me to the Beacon Theater up on the Upper West Side. And I still have... And I remember getting a program. My mom bought me a program when we left. And I know I still have it in storage. I got to find it.
Okay.
But it was an incredible experience because it's kind of like what we have with our wrestling events.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're basically... You may not be at the event, but you're at an event.
Right.
So you're watching where everybody... So it felt like, you know, we're watching the screen, but... It was like a movie screen, but we're watching the screen, but it feels like you're there, and everybody's just cheering and hollering in the theater.
Right.
You know,
right.
you don't get that when you go to a movie.
No.
You know?
Nope. Shut up, sit down!
Yeah, exactly.
You watch movie!
You know, so... It was something like that. So it was such a thrill, man.
Yeah.
So it's like I've really been a fan for a long ass time.
30 years.
I went to the first WrestleMania. Sort of.
You're hoping out here.
I can actually say that. Sort of.
There's a couple I like. I love 17 in Houston with Rock Austin 2. Mm-hmm. I love Rock Cena 1, like the WrestleMania 28.
Right.
Think about the end of the card. You had CM Punk, Jericho. Mm-hmm. You had the end of an era match between Triple H and Undertaker.
Wow. That was a great match.
That was a good, nice triple main event.
Right.
Yeah, some other contests, but those are the three that stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, a match that no one thinks was really good, I thought it was good, I believe Orton for Big Show at that WrestleMania. It was 10-15 minutes, but you know what? It was actually pretty good.
It was a solid match.
Right.
Going back to punt.
Exactly. I didn't like the Sheamus Daniel Bryan 18 seconds. Although that was the beginning of the Yes movement.
But yo, you know what though? That actually
helped Daniel Bryan in a way.
Because it kind of made everybody revolt and be like, hey, how are you going to do that to this talent? This guy's right. so talented. Yo, why are you doing that? And it ended up, you know, it wasn't a burying maneuver. It actually became a springboard maneuver for him.
Right. Like Austin Brett.
With the match of WrestleMania 13.
Yeah. Where he doubled the double turn.
The double turn, right.
Yeah.
Right. He turned face, and then Brett turned heel.
That was an ill match, dude. Yeah. Like, that whole ending.
The Bloodstone passed out.
He never said, I quit. Yeah, he never said, I quit.
And I think after that, that's when they said he's the toughest SOB. It was after that they started using, he's the toughest SOB in the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Never quit.
Until he turned heel. Until he turned heel. And then it was over.
Wow, man, thank you for your time, man. I had fun. I had a great hour. We went from how he was introduced to your road in comedy and still at that road, you know.
It's not over yet.
To take, you know.
I hope not. Except
going to the ring.
To talking about general stuff and then leading up, of course, talking about WrestleMania. For those of you who are listening, February, what is it? I don't know, even the date, 19/20.
Today's the 19th, and this Sunday, February 22nd, will be at Sweet 36 with special host Peter Rosenberg from High 97 and the TP Podcast doing it up for the Fastlane pay-per-view. It's going to be fun. Everybody's going to be there. Reservations are, going through the roof. We got a lot of people coming through. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of exciting, a lot of beer, a lot of wings, and a lot of fun.
Sometimes I feel bad. I never make a reservation. I just come. Like, they know I'm coming. I'm just going
to. Yeah, but that's because Janelle. Janelle, hi Janelle.
What's up now?
Janelle always has a table, and since she always has a table, she always has a chair for you.
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
So do us a favor and sign off for us.
Sign off.
All right, this is comedian Brandon Jolly. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Tears Is Back. And it's real simple, you know, nothing crazy. It's Tears Is Back. And this is Yup, I Like Wrestling.
And.
My name is Brian.
He likes wrestling.
Yeah, I like wrestling. This is Yep, I Like Wrestling. I'm comedian Brandon Jolly.
All right, thanks a lot, everybody. And for myself, Sonny Sofrito, and
Hyrum,
we'd like to say thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Thank you. All right, take care.